So I love leaning into this new series called Hope Has a Name. We are in a new year, in a new season, and at the beginning of a new year, people have new hopes. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands today, but you can just raise it on the inside. How many of you are hoping for something in this year? Is hoping for something in 2015? We need a change. We need a shift. We need something to be different. We need something to come through. We need something to work out. We need an outcome that we're not really sure how to get to, but we're hoping for something in the new year. And I want to just lift up that idea today, and I don't know what you think about when you think about hope. When we started down this road of hope, the first thing I thought about was the movie Hope Floats. Did anybody see that movie? I don't know why, but that just the very first thing I thought about. I think if you're over 40, you've probably seen it a couple times. If you're under 25, you probably don't know what we're talking about. It had Harry Connick Jr. in it. Yeah, can we get an ooh or an ah? Yeah, a little some eyebrows raised over there. You know, he's got that Louisiana charm going, and he's good looking. And then we had Sandra Bullock in this movie together. Anybody see Hope Floats? I said we were going to do it. Oh, okay, great. Thank you. Everybody knows what page we're on. It's kind of that you already know how that movie's going to end before it starts, right? Because hope floats, right? And you know, at the end of the day, it's going to look like it's not, but it's going to rise up to the top and carry us on into the future. You know, there's going to be an embrace, a hug, a kiss, a sunset, happiness, and everybody's going to go away feeling good about life. And that's kind of not the hope we're talking about today, because that kind of hope really doesn't have a lot of validity sometimes in our lives. We throw hope around like this. Anybody said this to somebody the other day? Hey, I hope you feel better. You know, a person's got congestion, they're coughing up a lung, they've got sinus drainage, you know, they're miserable, and then you say, well, man, I hope you feel better. What does that do exactly? That makes me feel what? That helps me how? That's not a Z-Pack. That's not like get me in to see a doctor. That's not like bring me chicken soup. That's just like, hey, I hope you feel better. But somehow it does make us feel better for about a nanosecond. You know, we say to people, hey, I hope you make it home okay. Have you ever been to one of those deals? Like, it's really late, and I probably should help you get home, and I know your tire was flat, but I really don't want to do that, so I know you're driving to Jonesboro, Arkansas right now, and it's 3 a.m, but hey, I hope you make it okay. Text me when you get there. Then the generic, I hope everything works out. I mean, what does that mean exactly? So I'm at coffee with you, I'm pouring out my guts, I'm telling you my life is falling apart, I'm explaining all the intricate details of why everything is going down the tubes in a hurry, and you say at the end, hey man, I hope that all works out. What kind of hope is that? Here's one we throw around all the time. Hey, I hope you have a great week. Hope you have a great week. It's like you want to tell the person, okay, look, here's my boss's number. You need to call her, because if I'm going to have a great week, you need to talk to her like right now. Some things need to shift and change for me to have a great week. Hope doesn't just float up to the top and make us all feel good. That's not the kind of hope we're talking about today. I was hoping earlier this week on Thursday in something myself. I don't know what happened to me, and I'm embarrassed to tell you this, but hey, I've told you other things before. So Shelly caught me in a post-passion stupor. Weak moment. You know, she's caught me when I was tired. It was a long conference, big Sunday. We'd had a couple big days of work around here. And about Thursday, about 4:30, we're hanging out, and day's winding down, and Shelly says, I'm going to the nail salon. Well, I mean, that's not like, you know, speaking German at our house. I'm like, okay, yeah, that happens occasionally, so great. I'll take London. We'll do something. It'll be amazing. I'll see you in 4 hours, you know? And so... Can I get an amen from the gentleman, you know? I don't know what they do in these places, but it takes a long time to get the gel on, apparently. I use that word. I don't know what that means, but I've heard that word. And she says to me, I'm going to the nail salon, and I compute that. That means I will do something else. But then she added a phrase that she's never added in our 29 years of marriage or that I've heard in 56 years of life. She said, and why don't you come with me? And I start thinking in my mind, honestly, because remember, I'm in between conscious and unconsciousness. You know, it's a few days after passion. I'm tired. My brain's not working good. So I'm thinking, come with you. Okay, come sit in the car while you're in the nail salon. Come and read a magazine while you're getting a manicure. What, come with you? I don't understand. Come with you. I've never come with you in all the times you've gone. I don't even know where these places are. I don't know where to come if I came with you. I just see it show up on the credit card statement. I don't really know exactly where the nail salon is that you go to. I probably should know this, right? And no, she says, no, why don't you come with me and get a manicure and a pedicure? Now, come on, man. You're ahead of me here. I am about to turn in my man card, okay? Because I'm going to tell you something I'm not proud of. And but I will say this. After the manicure and the pedicure, oh, Lord. After that happened, I went and killed our dinner and skinned it and cooked it over an open fire that I built out of a broom handle. And yeah, I mean, I was so motivated after this thing. I went straight to Home Depot, bought new power tools, built a whole new shed in our garage. I made this table right here. I bent this wrought iron with my own bare hands at the end of that, messed up the manicure. But so I'm just going to tell you the way it went down. Okay, so we go into this place. You know what it's called? I'm not going to tell you what it's called because I might end up back there and I don't want you showing up. So we go in this place. And we get in there, and here's the way it works, guys. I'm just going to tell you the lowdown on nail salons. Are you ready? It's a bank of chairs on one side, and a bank of chairs on the other side, and some business in the middle. So you got people looking at people getting manicures and pedicures. Guys, a pedicure has to do with your feet. A manicure has to do with your hands. And so we go in there, and so all of a sudden as we walk through the door, I'm like, I have not thought through this at all, like zero. I'm not even really sure what we're doing. We roll in, and I'm like, A, I'm the only guy in here. B, there are a lot of ladies in here. Oh, I hope nobody we know is in here. Hope. That kind of hope. Do you want to know the rest of this story? There's not really a rest to the story, except that I apparently have really lovely nails that are aggravating me because I've never had another lady clip my nails while she was talking in a foreign language to five other people at the same time and not looking at my hands. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, that's my finger right there. I need that finger, you know? Oh, man, not relaxing, guys, not what I call a good time. And so I've got my feet in the whirlpool soak, right? And we're just getting going good. Pant legs are rolled up. And I'm like, man, this is crazy. Because the people sitting right across from us know who we are. And they apparently are good friends with someone that works on our team, and they're texting them right now. I can see it going down. This is your life. You get used to this. Hi, I know you're texting your friend. Tell him I'm in here. That's great. Awesome. Good to see you. About that time, a mom and her daughter from Passion City Church roll into the nail salon. They're going to be at 5 o'clock sitting right where you're sitting. I can't wait till the 5 o'clock. They're going to be sitting right there. And I'm like, well, Shelly just loses it. She starts laughing uncontrollably. You know, guys, how this goes down and you're like, A, it's not funny. And B, can I get out of here? Have you ever been out the back door? Is there a back door? I can take my shoes right now, jump out of this soak and get out of here. Pay the ladies, say thank you, whatever. I'm out. I'm honestly trying to figure out if that's an option right now. And I think that's going to cause more commotion. And they kind of end up going over to the other side, and there's some pedicure tables in between, manicure tables in between. And they sit, you don't care about all this, but they sit down where they really can't see us for a second. And then I start praying, Lord, I believe you're a great God. So would you, you know, in the power of the Holy Spirit, will you put a visibility shield around us right now? That's impenetrable to normal people, you know? I mean, and so for about 30 minutes, they didn't see us. And I'm like, oh, this is so great. There's a God. I love it. And I'm just hoping, you know, that the shield lasts. And then my faith dropped at some point, and the shield dropped, and they got up and walked straight over to us. And the lady was like, I'm just going to do an impersonation for a second, okay? She's just like, and then she goes, I probably shouldn't be looking at my pastor's feet. I don't feel comfortable looking at my pastor's feet. I'm going to go now. And so we talk and ha ha. And then we left after the thing was all done and we were all, you know, fantastic. I know you're trying to look. Everybody's zeroing in, trying to look. Too short, A. Not comfortable with that, but anyway, it's all good. I'm good. I have a counseling session next week, which will be awesome also. I've made that appointment over the weekend. So we're leaving, and the last thing they say was, just want to let you know, your secret is safe with us. Guys, that translates into, you better get this in the first talk of the year and get it out there before they get it out there, because they're going to get it out there quick. That's what that translates into. So, you know, hope... isn't always the best strategy. I hope you feel better. Not a good strategy. I hope it works out. Not a good strategy. I hope nobody sees me. Oh, they're going to see you. I hope I don't run into anybody from work in here. Oh, you're going to run into somebody from work. The last person you don't want to run into is who you're going to run into. I hope your week goes okay. These are not good strategies for success, especially when we're coming through storms in life. And I believe that the storms are reality, and I think a lot of people here at 1230 are in some big-time storms. And what you don't need is a message from us about some fluffy pillow hope where you can rest your head in your hard times. You know, people in this building right now are coming through divorce. In the middle of it, some people see it's coming and it's inevitable, it seems like. Other people have just come through it. Some of you have walked through it with family members. Some of you have been through the whole holiday season with all the dynamics of divorce and the ramifications of it. Some of you are a couple of months on the back side of it. And I'm telling you, you don't need somebody to tell you, hey, I hope that all works out for you. Got other people in this building right now. Your business is on the brink of going belly up. Stock market's at an all-time high. The dollar is strong. American economy looks pretty decent right now compared to every other option you got in the world. Oil's in the tank. Gold's in the tank. Russia's in the tank. European Union, particularly, you know, kind of fragile right now. The euro is way down, and business maybe for everybody else is kind of going up, but business for you is really going down, and business is going belly up. You don't need somebody telling you, hey, man, I just hope it all works out and your business gets better in 2015. That's not a great strategy necessarily. You're hit with a life-shaping diagnosis. You need something to hope in. You had a breakup of a long-standing relationship, and you're in this place today. You don't need some kind of fluffy pillow hope. You need something that you can count on. You're at a new stage in life. I mean, there are people here right now. You thought your career was going left and it went right. You'd worked so hard to get a particular position and you did not get that position. You worked hard to get a promotion and you didn't get that promotion. Someone else got that promotion or that appointment, and here you are in Atlanta, Georgia. You didn't plan on being in Atlanta, Georgia. You're at Passion City Church today, but this wasn't option A for you. You're here and not there. You're in this city and not that city. You're not with those friends. You're here and you don't have any friends. There's all kind of dynamics going on in the room today. Hey, one thing just to say about that, just a little parenthesis, we find God in those stormy valleys in life. And so 2015 for you, if you're in a storm, coming out of a storm, feeling stormy in 2015, the one good caveat, and I don't say this lightly, is you can say, this is going to be a great year for me in 2015, because you know where you find God. You find God in the storms of life. That's where you are propelled to grow closer in your faith with God. If your 2015 is 10 months in Cancun, you are not growing spiritually. You are not going to move on in your development and your relationship with God. But it's the hard times of life that forge in us this hunger and desire to want to move close to God and to hear from Him for our lives, asking the question, is there hope in the midst of what I'm going through? And what we don't want to do today, you've got two options. What we don't want to do today is talk about a fluffy pillow hope. And so today's message isn't going to be, you know, you've had a really rough go of it. Things haven't really worked out. So I just want you to just come on, honey, and just rest your head down on this big fluffy pillow and everything's going to be okay. I hope it all works out. I hope you have a great week. Oh, I hope you feel better. Oh, just come put your head down and everything's going to be fine. People in storms don't want fluffy pillows. And they don't want fluffy pillow hope. They don't want a sermonette. They don't want some little spiritual, you know, poetic, everything's going to work out all right. They want to know, hey, at the bottom of all this, is there something that you can stand on? And in the midst of all this, is there anything bigger in life, a bigger story, bigger meaning for me that I can link into now that everything I can see is unraveling all around me? And that's the kind of hope that we want to talk about today. Not the kind of hope that floats up to the top with a happy ending, but the kind of hope that sinks down to the bottom and provides a bedrock for us to stand on at the very lowest point of life, where we know from this point, I'm not going to sink anymore, and I can build from this point into what God has for me. And that's the kind of thinking that we're talking about when we're talking about hope has a name. You know, there's two options in life. There's the option in life that there is nothing in life, and there's the option in life that there is something in life. There's a way of thinking in Atlanta, Georgia today that there is nothing going on in life. You just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. When we die, it's all over, and that's the end, and there is nothing beyond that, so hey, make the best of it. There's another option that says there is something, there is a plan, there is a master plan, there is a global idea going on, there is intelligent reason for life, and there's a purpose and a plan for your life, and where you're coming from on those two points of view speak tremendously into the quality of your hope going into 2015. When I was studying around this idea, I bumped into something I'd never seen before, and it spilled out of the philosopher Epicurus. I don't know if you remember him or not, but Epicurean philosophy basically said that we're all a random collection of atoms floating through life, bumping into each other, and at the end of life, there is death, and in death, there is nothing. So while I'm here, I'm something, and when I'm gone, I'm nothing, and I have no fear of death because there is nothing after death for us. His thinking said this: death is nothing. When we exist, death is not, and when death exists, we are not. All sensation and consciousness ends with death, and therefore in death there is neither pleasure nor pain. So the fear of death that arises when we have a belief that in death there is some awareness is gone. That was the Epicurean philosophy of the day. And we're about to look at two passages of scripture. And why this matters is that in the day that these texts were written, this was a very well accepted philosophy all throughout the Roman Empire. And within the Roman Empire is where the story of Jesus unfolded. And all through the Roman Empire was this Epicurean thinking that there is nothing, so that if you went into a cemetery at the time of Jesus or the time that the church was born, it would be not uncommon to see an epitaph on a tombstone that read like this: non fui, fui non sum, non curo. That was a common epitaph at the end of life for a lot of people in the day and age of Jesus, in the day that the church was born, all through the Roman Empire. And it translates this in English: I was not, I was, I am not, I do not care. In other words, there was a day when I wasn't, now I am, there'll be a day that I'm not, and when I'm not, I'm not, and therefore I don't care about anything after this life. There is no meaning, there really is nothing to hope in, there is no purpose or plan for life. That's option number one: there is nothing. And option number two is, no, there is something. And here's what I think. When we go through divorce, when our businesses go belly up, when diagnoses come into our world that shape us in a dramatic way and change the variables in our lives, when we have a breakup of a long-standing relationship, when we're all of a sudden entering into a new chapter or a new stage of life, when our career suddenly changes, when our city changes, the things we hope for don't work out. In that moment is when I find people wanting to gravitate towards something from nothing. That there was a time when maybe I thought there really wasn't any big meaning in life, but now that the squeeze is on, I need to know, is there something you can really count on in life? And to that, we are offering an answer in the next few weeks. that there is something to hope in. It's not fluffy pillow hope where you can just come and rest your head and everything's going to be okay. But the hope we're talking about sinks down to the bottom and provides bedrock for you to stand on. And that hope is not a thing. That hope is a person, and that person has a name, and his name is Jesus. Hope's name is Jesus. Now, you may say today, whoa, that's a big statement to make. I don't even know if I believe in Jesus. I don't even know if I believe in God. I don't even know what all this Jesus necessarily is about. And you're telling me that everything I should count on to be dependable in my life is in the person of Jesus? Exactly. That's what we're saying today. And over the next few weeks, with the guests that are going to be here and myself, we're going to be dialing into this idea that hope has a name, that Jesus is the hope for all mankind. Jesus is the hope for this city, and it's 6.5 million people. That there is something to believe in, and his name is Jesus. We're coming around the idea that there is nothing leads to hopelessness, but there is something leads to hope. It gives us a greater meaning. And what is the greater meaning? That we were created by and for Jesus. And that is in our hearts today. It might not be in your mind yet. Your thinking may not have come around to this idea of, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and God. I believe that Jesus is ultimate meaning. I believe that Jesus is the creator of the universe. I believe that Jesus is the way to life. I believe that Jesus is the way to truth. I believe that Jesus leads us on to the very best things in life. Maybe your mind hasn't really come around that kind of thinking yet, but somewhere deep down in the makeup of your being is this idea, there's got to be something and not nothing. And that idea comes from what we believe, Scripture, which says that we were made by him and for him. And that's the operating grid that's in our hearts today, and that's the doorway that opens before us when we talk about hope. Two ideas today. Number one is this, that our hope is rooted in God. That's number one idea today. Our hope is rooted in God. So it's not just hope against hope. It's not just hope for the sake of hope. Our hope is rooted in God. And we see this in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. If you have Scripture, I want you to turn there with me. And again, this book of Romans obviously is written to the church emerging in Rome, which is in the middle of the Roman Empire, which is in the middle of an Epicurean mindset, which would be in a community where lots of graves would say, I was not, I am, I'm not anymore, and I don't care. That mentality permeated the day, and in the midst of that, to the church, writing about their relationship with each other, their relationship with God, this is what Paul says. In verse 13 of Romans 15, his prayer is, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with, say it with me, hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's like 8 sermons in a sentence. That's how powerful the Word of God is. That's like a way to do life in 2015 in one sentence. This is everything we're longing for in one sentence, and it's all squeezed in, that hope isn't a thing. It comes and is rooted in our belief in God, so that may the God of hope, not the idea of hope, not I'm going to write you a postcard about hope, I'm going to calligraphy some nice hope on a little thing for you, that's all great, but I'm talking about the source of hope, where hope is rooted, and hope is rooted in God. Our hope is rooted in God, and here's why that's important, because God is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. There's nothing that is impossible with God. And that's why that's a good place to have your hope be rooted in him. And here's how it works. He said, this God of hope can do the one thing we want more than anything else in 2015, which is to be filled with joy and peace. I mean, come on. When you get down to the bottom of it today, isn't that what we really want more than anything? Is to get out of being depressed and to have some joy. I mean, is that not what we want? We are living in what possibly is the most depressed era ever. And God is saying, I want you to have hope that you can have joy this year. Joy is different than happiness, by the way. Happiness is, oh man, that was so great. Ah, baby, woo, yeah. That's happiness. Or something like that, you know. Happiness is a manicure and a pedicure with no people you know coming in. But joy is different. See, happiness kind of up on the surface. Joy is down on the bottom. Happiness is kind of, hey, I feel great about life today. Joy is, I've got something to celebrate even if life isn't going my way. So you can take happiness depending on the stock market, going back to that. And 18,000, maybe you're thrilled to death. If you're a stock trader, then you're happy either way because you win coming and going. Isn't that awesome? That's a great time to be one of those when the market's volatile and doesn't matter whether we're buying or selling, you're making money either way. That's great. But stock market at 15,000, not so happy today. So circumstances can go up and down. Oil, we don't care about it in Georgia because who cares, but all our families back in Texas, they care about oil in Texas, and the price of West Texas Intermediate crude is like about, you know, a buck right now. I mean, not exactly, but it's below $50, and it's in the 40s, and that's not great. And that can change overnight. We could have an international event today, and the price of oil could change in an hour. All the circumstances of life. He said yes, he said no. She said maybe, she said not in this lifetime. All the circumstances of life can change happiness in an instant. And God is dealing in joy, which endures, which is a broader confidence in who he is and what he's doing in our lives. And that's what he wants to fill 2015 with. So may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. And here's how, as you trust in him. And when you do that, it's possible, he says, to overflow with hope. So out of your reservoir of hope, you actually are now speaking the confidence of God over the people around you. You've got extra hope to go. And all this is operational by the work of God's Spirit in you and in me. The object of our hope. I love it. Look at Hebrews, if you would, just to the right, a couple of pages. In Hebrews chapter 11, this is expounded on a little bit that our hope is rooted in God. It says in verse 1 of Hebrews 11, now faith is being sure of what we, say it with me, hope for, and certain of what we do not see. So it's being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Verse 3. By faith, this is important, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Now, the connection between these verses is powerful. The beginning, faith, and faith is necessary to be in a relationship with God. Faith is being sure of what we're hoping for and confident in what we don't see. Now, just hang on for a minute. If you're here today and you're thinking, this is exactly why I'm not a church person, you finally have hit on my issue today. I don't know how to be confident in what I don't see. That's my problem. And that's my problem with all you Christians, is that you're all real excited about and certain about something that you can't see. And that bothers me because I'm a realistic person and I like to deal in stuff that's actually real. And the connection between these two things is really, really powerful and important. And this verse 3 is a scientific verse, but it really helps us know how to root our hope in God. Again, verse 3, for by faith, that means God's helping us understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Now, that's what I believe. I believe God decided there was going to be a universe, and he spoke the universe into being. You say, well, why do you believe that? Because that's what Scripture says. In the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then God began to speak out the various aspects of creation. And in the beginning of time, God is the one who decided that we were going to have a tangible, physical universe, including Earth, to live in. God commanded the universe to exist. That's an option. Now, there's another option, of course, and the other option is that God wasn't around or that God isn't around, that there was nothing that God did, that was only a big bang that happened at the beginning, and in that big bang, atoms smashed together, a collision happened of massive magnitude, and all of a sudden, matter started, you know, traveling at this high rate of speed through the universe into the present, and as that matter has blown up and expanded, and the speed of the universe, as we know, has continued to get greater and greater and greater, the universe has expanded more and more and more, that here we all are, all these billions of years later, as we are sitting in this auditorium right now, all dressed in relatively matching clothes and, you know, showered and listening to me talk and watching all this going on here, that's another view. Nothing blew up into everything. That's a view. No one can tell you what was on the other side of that bang. No one knows. Where did the nothing come from that smashed together and blew up? Had the nothing been there forever? And if so, that's weird. And so how did all that actually happen? We don't know. We do know there was a beginning, and we know that there has been this, you know, massive fallout on the other side of that. So A says God did all that. God commanded, and then all that blew up, and all that matter started moving, and that was all God's directive and God's creative force and God's design and energy. And what was on the other side of it was God. The other one is, I don't know what happened or how it happened or who made it happen. I just know what happened, and I don't know what's on the other side of it. And we believe on the other side of it was a purpose, not nothing but something, and not just something but someone, and that this eternal, self-existing God spoke into existence everything that we see. And it's not really that unrealistic when you put both of them side by side, because we all know something happened. We just have an understanding of what happened. And science is feverishly working to try to peel the layers back and figure that out. But we can't get on the other side of that big bang to figure out what was over there. And so we've answered the question today. What's over there is not nothing. What's over there is something. And you say, well, Louis, why does that matter to me? Because that same God is where our hope is rooted for 2015. And here's how that's going to come into play for you. There's going to be a moment where you're hoping in something, and in your mind, none of the necessary components for that to become reality are going to be on the table. And you're going to go, well, it ain't going to happen. Well, why is it not going to happen? Well, look, there's not that, there's not that, there's not that. You need one of these, you need one of these, you need one of those, and I just don't see it. There's not enough elements and components here to actually make this happen the way it needs to happen. And that's when we say, man, thank goodness my hope is rooted in God. What God? The God who commanded the universe to come into existence and who did what it says at the end of verse 3 and helped us understand that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So what does that mean to you? It means that when you can't see God working, you still have hope. And what is your hope? That God doesn't need what is seen to produce what is real. God does not need what you see to make something that's real. So you can have a conversation with God that goes like this. You know, if it were up to me right now, I would say the chances of this working out are very slim, but thank goodness my hope is rooted in you. And when my hope is rooted in you, I know that you're the God who makes things out of stuff that you can't see, who actually makes things that are out of things that aren't, and you've done that in the past, namely Earth and Niagara Falls and the Swiss Alps and the Alpbach in Australia and the Chattahoochee River. You've done that before. So I believe you can do that again. I believe my God can make what is seen out of what is unseen. And therefore, I can have hope through this entire year because that hope is rooted not in a fluffy pillow, but it's rooted in Him. Second big idea is that hope is centered in Jesus. It's one thing to say that our hope is in God, but we want to take it a step further today, and we want to say our hope is actually in Jesus, because Jesus is God. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, same Paul who wrote Romans is writing again. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God. So there's God commanding something again. I love that. He commanded the universe into existence, and he commanded Paul into his specific place in the world. Isn't that great? So the same God that said, let there be light, is the same God who wants to speak into your life this year and say, yeah, and let there be you. Let there be you on the path that you're on. Let there be you on the course that you're on. I'm going to set you on a path in the same way I set the galaxies into orbit. At God's command. I'm an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God. And now he describes the God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. And so, yes, hope is rooted in God, but that hope rooted in God is centered in Christ. It's not just, oh, God is our hope. It's no, Christ is our hope. And so, A, the first application of that in both these texts is salvation. Christ is our hope for forever with God. He's how we know that we can have a relationship with God forever. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And he makes a way for you and me to know that we have an eternal relationship with God. That's the primary implication of these two passages we looked at. Our hope is in God. Our hope is in Christ. What hope? That at the end of life, there isn't nothing, there's something. And the something is a future with God. And the future with God is sealed and sure because of the work of Jesus Christ. You can count on that. It's not floating up to the top in happiness. It is joy down at the bottom that you can stand on no matter what. So we're not saying, hey, at a certain point in time, you're going to meet your maker, and we just hope you'll have a fluffy pillow to lie your head on when that happens so that you can rest in peace. That's the dumbest thing we say. And I say that lightly. What does that even mean? Well, rest in peace. Well, what? Do you want to rest in peace, honestly? I mean, hello. Are we going to? You know, it's weird. I mean, I say this lightly because I'm sure some families have been close to this. But, you know, they put us in a box when we die. It's like pillow covered on top, pillows, side, pillows. We've never been more pillow encased on earth as we are in death. Pillows underneath, cushy pillows, so that we can rest in peace. And when someone passes away, that's what we say, well, may they rest in peace. I don't know about you, but when my life is over, I need a little more than that. I'm going to need more than that when my life is over. So don't say that about me when I'm gone, okay? Please don't do that. Don't say, well, oh, Louis, you know, God bless him. I hope he rests in peace. A, I don't want to rest in peace because in a twinkling of an eye, I'm going to be made just like Jesus. The imperfect is going to be made perfect. This mortality is going to put on immortality. I'm going to be like him as soon as I see him. I'm not going to be taking a nap. I'm going to be alive and awake fully and free with him forever. I'm not going to need to rest in peace. So that's A. So I don't want any rest in peace. And B, I don't want any little sappy, hey, I know you lived a good life, and I know now you've suddenly died, so I just want you to put your head down on this pillow for all of eternity in this cushy little place and rest in peace. That's not the kind of hope we're talking about. Because when you get to the end of life, you don't want a cushy pillow. If you're coming to the end of your journey, you're not going, typically, and looking at all the boxes and saying, which one is the most comfortable? You're looking for something that can sink down to the bottom of your hope and desperation that you can stand on no matter what, and that you know that is going to be a bedrock for you now and in eternity. And that's the kind of hope we're talking about in Jesus Christ. He is our hope. But in the same way that he is our hope forever, he is our hope every single day. Because Jesus does not only operate in eternal salvation on the day that you die. Jesus operates in resurrection power for all the days that you live. And whatever it is you're hoping for in 2015. That will all change if you will switch from hoping for something to hoping in someone. This is a shift we want to make today from this statement. I am really hoping for blank in 2015. I am hoping for a raise in 2015. I am hoping for a friend in 2015. I am hoping for a date in 2015. We are hoping for a baby in 2015. We are hoping for a reconciliation in 2015. We are hoping for a victory in 2015. We are hoping for success in 2015. We are hoping for a financial breakthrough in 2015. Those plans are not a good strategy because hope isn't a good strategy. I know Christians, we got our own language. That's why I like to hang around like, you know, real people sometimes. I have a CEO friend, and I don't mean, you know, that I'm not real. I just mean that sometimes we just kind of get in our little, you know, bubble. And so we were texting back and forth, and I had a big thing coming up, and he was encouraging me in it. And I said, yeah, I'm going into this deal, and I really hope that, you know, the outcome is what we need. And he just texted right back. He goes, hope is a poor strategy. I was like, thank you, Mr. CEO. You know, every now and then you need that, don't you? It's like if you want the meeting to have a good outcome, guess what? What do you need to have a good outcome? Well, I need to talk to him and them. I need a better plan. I need to work a little bit more until this all makes sense. I need to bring some more people into the equation. I need X, Y, Z to fit into this place right here. If you want to have a good outcome at the deal, then what are the things necessary to have a good outcome? Because just going into it, say, man, I hope this goes good. I'm going in there to talk to my people today. I hope it goes good. Hey, I hope you get home okay. I hope you feel better. I hope you have a nice week. That's not a good strategy. I'll tell you a better strategy. So we want to shift the phrase, I'm really hoping for blank in 2015, the operative word being for blank, to I'm hoping in blank in 2015. I'm hoping in, not for. So I'm not just hoping for a better outcome. I'm hoping in blank. And the blank has something in it. And what's in the blank is Jesus Christ, Son of God. In 2015, I'm not just hoping for something, I'm hoping in someone. This year, my hope is in Christ. Hang on. For this outcome. Because the outcomes are real. I mean, if you want to see your family come back together in 2015, that's a good thing to have on your radar. But just hoping your family will come back together isn't a good strategy. But hoping in Christ, that in Christ, Christ can bring your family back together, that's a good plan. Our hope is in God. You know, our hope's only as good as the object of our hope. You have any people that wrote you a Christmas card? Do you love getting Christmas cards, anybody? How many are getting Christmas cards from people you don't see very often? Anybody? The only time you hear from them all year is a Christmas card? Anybody? And what do they write in there? Oh, everything's great here. All the kids got braces and, you know, the dog had puppies and, you know we love everything. Everything's great in life. And then they get down there and say, hey, we hope to see you in 2015. Anybody get one of those? Hope to see you in 2015. Same people who hope to see you in 2014, 2013, 2012, 2011, 2010, 2009, 2008. And when you read the card, you're like, we're not seeing them in 2015. I mean, we are definitely not going to see them this year based on our track record with them. That's one of those fluffy pillow hopes. Hey, have a good year and a happy new year. We hope to see you in 2015. And you just want to write them back and say, come on, man, we're not seeing y'all. We're not ever seeing y'all. You know, the last time we saw y'all, you know, we rode mules together to get where we were going. I mean, we're not going to ever see you guys again. But then you have another friend who says, hey, we hope to get with you guys soon. We hope to connect with you guys soon in 2015. And in your mind, you're thinking they're probably in the car on the way over here right now. You know the difference, right? It's the object of the hope. And Christ is a solid place to put our hope. You see, Jesus isn't fluffy pillow hope. Jesus is cinder block hope. It doesn't float. It sinks. down to the very bottom of whatever it is you're in. Sinks all the way down to the bottom. And it's the kind of hope that you can stand on and build up from. It's the kind of hope that you can know today in this place, there is a bottom. It's not a constant free fall. There is solid rock, and his name is Jesus. And I'm going to stand on Jesus. And I'm going to put my hope in him. That kind of person says these things. That kind of person says, Jesus has a plan for me. So why are you so hopeful? Because Jesus has a plan for my life. That kind of person says, Jesus is my salvation. So at the end of it all, I know that he's going to come through for me when it matters most. That kind of person says, number three, I'm not just here with nothing, but there is something, and the something is I was made by and for God. And you know what that means? It means I'm on my way to God right now. So it might happen in 2015, it might happen in 2016, but I'm on my way to God, and that's great news for me, and I'm hoping in that. But the better news is, on my way to God, I'm on my way to God with God. And so whatever happens this year, I'm on my way to God with God. And nobody can stop that. Hello? No one can stop me from being on my way to God, with God, on my way to God. Well, cancer can't stop that. Cancer cannot stop me from being on my way to God, with God. Divorce can't stop me from being on my way to God, with God. Financial collapse can't stop me from being on my way to God, with God. My boyfriend walking out on me cannot stop me from being on my way to God, with God. Neither death nor life can separate me from the love of God today in Christ Jesus. And I am with him on the way to him. And this is the defining paradigm of who I am. That fourth statement just falling out of that, that people with that kind of hope make is that nothing can thwart God's plan for me. I may be single a little bit longer than I planned on, but nothing can stop God's plan for me. I might be single today, and I didn't plan on it at all, but nothing can stop God's plan for me. My kids, they may be out of touch right now, but nothing can stop God's purpose and plan for me. How can you say that? Because I believe in a God who commanded the universe to come into existence and who out of nothing made everything, with things that weren't visible, made everything that is visible today. And he is my God. He is known to me in Christ, and I am standing on him. It is not fluffy, lay your head down and feel better hope. It is bedrock hope underneath my feet. The object of your hope determines the kind of hope you have. And Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. I'll close with this, but I've been praying for the last month the particular verse of Scripture, thinking it was for Passion, and I still do think it is for Passion. It's in our opening video sequence at Passion 2015. But as this message got closer and closer over the last 10 days, I started realizing I actually think the verse of Scripture I've been praying for the last 2 months is for this moment right now. And this is what the psalmist said. The whole chapter, Psalm 118, is for you. If you're looking for hope, this is your chapter. You should read it top to bottom. But I love right in the middle of it. This is what it says, verse 17. It says, I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. People say, what are you praying for, Passion? I'm praying this verse right here. I'm praying that people coming in the doors, tens of thousands of people from all walks of life who the enemy has come to do the one thing that he comes to do, which is to steal and to kill and destroy. That's his plan, plain and simple. There's not four things or 10 things or 27 things or three things. Steal, kill, and destroy. I want to take away from you what God wants to put into you. I want to kill you, kill your dreams, kill your family, kill your marriage, kill your business, kill your hopes, kill your self-worth. I'll kill everything you can let me kill, and I'll I'll take your eternal destination if you let me. And I want to destroy everything beautiful that God has made. This is the plan of the enemy. But into that, Jesus says, but hello, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. So this is the battle. This is the battle. There is a thief coming to steal, to kill and destroy, to steal your 2015, to steal your peace of mind, to steal your confidence away, to steal your hope away, to steal your faith away from you, to steal away from you the walk with Jesus that you've had. And he will steal everything that he can if we don't hear Jesus say, but time out, I've come that you might have life to the full. And the psalmist grabs this way before Jesus. And even out of hardship and difficulty and struggle, the psalmist says, I will not die, but I will live. And when I live, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to proclaim what the Lord has done. And I just speak this over our house for 2015. We are not going to die, but we are going to live. And when we live through whatever the enemy's trying to steal away from us and rob out of our lives and destroy in us, we're going to say, man, I stood on Jesus. No fluffy pillow faith. Thank you very much. I needed bedrock under me. And I just kept standing on Jesus. And every day I just kept trusting in him for his outcome for my life, hoping in him for the things I wanted to see him do in my life. My hope was in Christ, and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. I will live and not die, and I will proclaim what the Lord has done. Can you embrace that today? Can you breathe that in today? Can you let God, the God of all hope, put that kind of joy and that kind of peace in your heart today so that that kind of hope can overflow in you by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you can just keep saying, you know what? I'm not going to die. I'm going to live. My dream's not going to die. My dream's going to live. My vision for the future is not going to die. It's going to live. I'm going to live. And at the end of the day, I'm not going to tell you the story of how great I am. At the end of the day, I'm not going to tell you how great my resolutions were. At the end of the day, I'm going to say, let me tell you about what the Lord has done for me, because he's hope that sinks to the bottom. However far down that is, and gives us a firm place to stand. You know, it's so ironic. Our team, you know, some of our team talks about all these series. What's his next series coming up? What's it going to be called? I might have an idea, but maybe they have a better idea. How's God want to speak into our house? How's it going to all work out? And so we've been talking about this series for a couple of months now. And in most of the meetings, talking about it, there's been this guy. And 2 years ago, Christmas Eve, he was sitting right where you're sitting at our Passion City Christmas Eve gathering. So just 10 days ago, or whatever it was, so 20 days ago, a bunch of us were here, Christmas Eve. So just go back one Christmas Eve and one more. And he was sitting right in here, not a part of Passion City, is permanent, you know, like family. This wasn't his church, but love God. Christmas Eve with his wife of 4 years, young couple. Left Christmas Eve, and then on Christmas Day, traveled down to Florida to a place that their family had there to celebrate Christmas as a family. 24 hours after sitting right in here, a drunk driver T-boned into their car and just smashed everything. And right in that instant, Celeste went to heaven. And unexplainably, because the car hit directly onto his door, Ryan survived the accident. They rushed him to a hospital, and he had all kinds of injuries. But as a few days went by, It turned out that none of those injuries were going to be life-threatening. So we've been talking about this series, Hope Has a Name. And in that circle has been Ryan, who's in this room right now. He works on our team. He's over all our production, which means it's his team that helps make everything we do here and at Passion come to life. So the fact that you can see things and things sound good and they feel right, that's Ryan serving you week after week after week after week, wanting to use all the creativity we have to bring the story of Jesus to life. 2 years and a few weeks ago, one moment and one circumstance changed everything. And on Christmas night, Ryan became a widower and a survivor, and all of that is complicated on every side. They picked hundreds of pieces of glass out of his face. And I remember, because we were at the Dome in 2013, a very special time, just a few days after Christmas. And I remember about halfway through the gathering, Ryan walked in the door, kind of limping and all kinds of, you know, sore here, there, and everywhere else, bandages. And he said, I just had to come here and be here in this place with these people in God's presence, because he's all I've got to stand on. And I said, Ryan, can I share just a little sliver of your story? He said, oh, please do. I just want to encourage somebody today that down at the very, 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 very bottom, Jesus is where hope is sure. So in that instant, Celeste's hope in Jesus was sure. Instantly, she was in the presence of the one that she had hoped in, and forever is where we are headed today with God. And in that moment, Ryan found Jesus to be enough to stand on and to build from. You see him here today, he would tell you that God has been faithful to him. He has a beautiful wife, beautiful future, hope for all that God has for his life and is going to do in his life. God has given him the power to walk away from that temptation to feel guilty and to feel all that angst about why her and not me, or why me and not her. And God has freed him to say, you know what? I'm in charge of the universe, and I'm in charge of both of you, and Celeste is with me, and you are here for a little while longer. You have an assignment to fulfill and a life to live. I want to lead you on into the future. I don't want you to be stuck forever in the past. She would want you to move on, and I want you to move on, and you're gonna move on, because this kind of hope in God sinks all the way to the bottom, and you can stand on it and you can trust it at the very deepest place. And he'd give you a big hug, and he'd probably say, let me pray for you, let me encourage you, you're gonna live and not die, and you're gonna tell what the Lord has